This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The news of Robin Williams' death reverberated across social media channels yesterday and today, with many in the world of comedy tweeting their shock and condolences. Among them, Steve Martin, who wrote, "I could not be more stunned by the loss of Robin Williams, mensch, great talent, acting partner, genuine soul." Judd Apatow tweeted, "When I was 18, I got a job as an intern at Comic Relief just to be near him. A genius and a truly kind man who made the world a better place." And Ellen DeGeneres, who wrote, "I can't believe the news about Robin Williams. He gave so much to so many people. I'm heartbroken." Stand-up comedian Marc Maron's response was short, painful, and captured what so many may have felt. "God damn it, Robin Williams. Sorry." In 2010, Robin Williams was a guest on Marc Maron's podcast, WTF. Perhaps Williams was feeling open that day, or maybe there's an unspoken bond of trust between comics. But this interview is startling in its intimacy and cuts through the vocal impressions and the almost manic energy associated with Robin Williams. Throughout the interview, Williams takes off the masks and candidly discusses his divorce, his battle with alcoholism and addiction, his insecurities and depression. Here's a snippet from that conversation where they discuss Robin Williams' frenetic stand-up style, why he's always opted against using a traditional handheld mic.
But I think that whole no mic thing really defines, you know, still that. Because when I go off mic, the control you have of a room changes dramatically.
Totally. People are forced to kind of go, what?
Yeah, they're like, take it in. And so you were able to sort of like, you know.
But I know guys who do that, you know, who really. That's why when I do stand-up, I use a wireless mic. This is hard for me to go, okay, good evening, thanks. And it seemed to me almost old school to go, hi, everybody, nice to be
holding
here.
Holding
the mic. And when I've had to go do clubs where I do, I leave it in the stand and kind of come and go to it. It's almost like, come back, point of reference, come back. But it was also the thing, I got to move, a moving target, literally.
And you still, like, you know, you still, like, put it out there, man. I mean,
For me, and the reason, like, when we go on at the Comedy Cellar, it's therapy. It's a relief from that, like you said, of where you can go on stage, and especially like you go on stage late, and like you said, with an audience, it's kind of especially, I don't know, there's certain audiences where they go, okay, so something new.
Right. And they're a little beaten up. If you go on late, you know, and it's half
they're
a
beaten
house
up, and then they're going, and then you know if you find something new, it's new. Then it's new and also different, or really honest, or really, like you said, deep, or just crazy.
But I think the personal truth, you know, becomes more daunting. For me,
it's a difficult thing to do.
Well, you know, it's like if you want to, you know, pontificate or take a soapbox, which I've done plenty of in my life, and I'm just at this point, and I'm a little younger than you, where it seems to me that the real risk, the one thing that all of us share, is that existential, you know, fear, that, you know, the panic of, you know, what does it really all mean?
Big time.
You know, what do we do with this anger? And
what do you do with the anger? And what do you do with the beneath the anger is the fear, like you said. What's the fear?
Yeah, and
you
I
talk
think
about that, and you talk about it to a 20-something, and they're going because they're like immune at that point.
Well, yeah, I do a bit about how like I've gotten old enough to resent people for being young. Like, and I'll ask someone in the audience, "How old are you?" And if they go like 22, I go, you know, "F you." And they don't really know what to do with that because there's no way they can, like,
they can't fathom that.
Well, I do the podcast. You know who can fathom it? There's this, like, I get emails from 14 to 18 year old guys saying, uh-huh, you know, I really understand where you're at, the frustration, all this stuff. And then when they get about 20, you know, 20 to 35, which is the prime demographic, I got nothing for them. But, you know, 14 to 18 year old kids, they understand the fear and the pain and everything else. And then the cocky time comes. And then when you get in your mid 30s, they're like, oh, now I get it. So I've alienated the only profitable demographic. I'm very clever like that.
You're basically
18 to 25, not. Yeah, yeah.
That's why I wanted to talk about Twitter to me. I go, Twitter, why would I? Twitter, the next step for me is stalker. You know, I'm having lunch. I know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how do you now? Like, I noticed, and now with the last one, the weapons of mass self-destruction, was that what it was?
Yeah.
That you are taking, you know, more risks than you have before with your own life and yourself.
I am, but it's also, you know, it's that weird thing of still talking kind of in general terms versus hardcore specific terms, which is like that thing that you leave either for at one point I had a therapist go, are you comfortable talking about this? I went, maybe, you know. It's that idea of, like I told you with Chris, he was talking about stuff, and I went, wow, would that I had the, you know, but at the time I was in the middle of a divorce, you're going, not good. initially, well, I was going to call the tour Remember the Alimony. And they went, maybe not.
Yeah. Not until we get the paper signed.
You're not paying alimony, number one. Number two, not profitable. And the idea of...
Well, that's bitter. There's a line where...
Yeah, I mean, someone said recently that they saw John Cleese, who was going through this divorce, and he was on stage, and he was so angry that the audience at one point was like, stop, you know.
And right, because bitterness is not... I tried to sell it for a long time, and it's really just amplified self-pity.
Totally.
And it reads that way.
And people kind of go, I get it, but you move on, you know.
Right, like, that's the weird thing about people, is that, you know...
if you can talk... It's that old acting thing. The more personal you make it, the more specific you make it, the more people will relate to you. Because they'll go, as personal as you think it is, there's a lot of people going, I feel that.
Well, that's where you get them. But, you know, where to get that in comedy is a little trickier.
Yeah, because you walk over that line and going, I feel this and I want to burn. And you go, no, we don't feel that. You
know? Right, right, exactly.
Or they go, don't share that part.
Well, then you have to accept that idea that where they can, you know, where either they laugh with you or they laugh at you. At some point, you have to be comfortable if they're laughing at you.
You're comfortable with either one, laughing at you. Can you tolerate that? And that's maybe sometimes where I go, oh, go! You know, the insecure part goes, no.
What are you afraid will happen?
I guess it's that fear of you'll recognize that, how insecure are we really?
Yeah.
How desperately insecure that made us do this for a living.
Well, I went to your IMDb page, and over the 25 years of appearance changes, I think that they can...
Big time going, why the beard? You have a beard, you have a beard, you're fat, you're clean, you're thin, you're light, you're blonde hair, you're bald. It's that weird thing. But those are a lot of times for characters, but it's the idea of at what point, you know, what level of acceptance, like you said, and look what we do for a living in terms of stand-up. You get to do stuff that if you did it, you know, just on the street, people go, that man.
Yeah.
He talked about his to me openly.
Right.
And you're going, but you're doing it in a club. All of a sudden, there's license to thrill, that old thing. You can do this stuff. But, like you said, the line, stepping over and back over the line of like, what are you going to find out? You're going to find out that, you know, you're this weird, insecure guy who does this and looking like Lenny Bruce said, for love. Going, do you love me?
Yeah.
Temporarily?
Yeah.
Kind of?
Yeah.
And then, and can you put that at risk going, I don't care if you love me. I got to say this.
Our next comedian comes from San Francisco, where he performed with the improv comedy group called The Wing. He moved to Los Angeles last winter and quickly became a regular here at the Improv. His humor is reminiscent of the great British comedians. You may have already seen him on The New Laughin'. Please welcome Robin Williams.
America, beach and boss country. Thank you. California. Okay. Thank you. Cheap shot. No way. I'd like to thank my father for coming. It's okay if I take off coat in public here? It's all right. Keep it. Okay. I keep it back on before I... Okay, wow. Another reason to legalize abortion in America. Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, here we go. A Soviet poem of pain and suffering. Little Robin, upon my windowsill with tiny breast of red, I brought the window slowly down and crushed the sucker's head. It's old, but sometimes works. And now... You're okay. Don't go down on yourself. It's okay. What are you doing? You all right? Okay, you're having a good time throwing up, no? Okay. Before I go on, I wish to teach you one word in Russian in case you ever go... Can you hear me in the seats over there? Okay, here we go. I wish to teach you one word in Russian in case you ever go to Soviet Union. It's necessary to know. It's a phrase, I'm sorry. A phrase to know in Soviet Union. Rosby... Воспаинный Шерсби. Why am I under arrest? Okay. We are ready now. Save that water for the shortage. Here we go.
Robin Williams there, who died yesterday at 63 of an apparent suicide. And with that, we gotta say goodbye for today. You'll find much more to explore at wordofmouthradio.org, where we've posted a link to hear the entire 2010 interview between Williams and Mark Maron. You can also chime in with your memories or thoughts on Williams on Facebook and on Twitter.